Praise the Lord. Hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we are reading Bible scriptures this evening from the book of Psalms and from the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, and from the book of we're going to make reference to the book of Numbers and other places in the Bible. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ extended his ministry by teaching, and that's what I intend to do, is to teach so that our ministry, which is the Lord's ministry here on earth, can be extended by teaching the Word, because so many people preach, and a lot of them have their own private interpretation of the Bible, but the Bible says that there's no private interpretation of the Bible. So some of the scriptures that we read this evening may be very offensive to you, because the Bible tells us that there are a lot of people that are offended with the Word of God. But the Lord, who is the Word of God, said, "Blessed is he that is not offended, who is not offended in me." Amen?
Amen.
And so, but blessed are all those that receive the gospel as it is. Now, the truth, or the gospel, I believe that the gospel is all the way through the Old Testament, because it tells of what the gospel is going to be, and that Christ is coming to the world. A God, as a man, will be coming into the world. And he says so all the way through the Old Testament. He is the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And if a person doesn't eat from the tree of life, which is the Word of God, there's no way that they can possibly enter into the kingdom of God, because the Word of God is God. And the Word, God, came into the world in the flesh as a man. And he dwelt among us here on earth. And then over 500 people saw him after he defeated Satan by allowing his, he never committed a sin, by allowing his precious blood to be shed on the cross at Calvary, and going to hell for us, and then raising from the dead on the third day, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and then was seen 40 days by his people, and then he ascended up into the kingdom of God. And shortly after that, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem in the upper room, even after they were saved, and that they would receive power from on high. Now, it's one thing to be saved, but the Lord even states that he would give power to his two witnesses in the last days. Now, if they're his witnesses, it's for sure they're saved, but they needed extra power. Especially in these last days, we need more power from God than ever before. And if we don't pay any attention to the Scriptures, if we are unresponsive to the Scriptures, well, then there's no possible way that we can have peace on earth. But if we respond to the Scriptures, and if we believe what the Lord says, that he is the teacher, and that his Word teaches us how to conduct ourselves in this world, and how to stay alive, and how to stay saved. But if we, receive him impulsively for a few days, or a month, or even a few years, and then impulsively, when something hits our flesh, one of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life, or we become fearful and unbelieving, we become fearful of the one world government, which is the Antichrist cult, which is headed by the Vatican in Rome, if we become fearful and unbelieving, especially when God is such a powerful God, and he's going to shake this earth terribly, he's going to move it right off of its axis, if we're afraid of such weak and beggarly thing as people, a bunch of sweaty people that are heretics, a bunch of sweaty people in Rome and in government that are actually undermining our very U.S. Constitution and the Bible, who could anybody pay any attention to? A bunch of flaky people like that is more than I can understand. But they impulsively leave the Lord, like so many have, and they believe that it's wrong to be truthful about the powers that be in the secular world when the Lord tells us about that in the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God, and the Lord tells us to preach the Word. He doesn't tell us to exclude different passages about Rome, the city of the seven hills. He doesn't tell us to exclude the preaching of the Antichrist, or to make it look like the Antichrist is Jews. You know, there's a lot of people that say that the Jews are the Antichrist, and that they're the ones that are trying to run the world. But the Bible says it's coming out of Italy, Rome, Italy, and that it's from the largest and most wealthy church in the world. Now, I've lived in Israel, and those people are not wealthy there. They're just barely struggling. Everything that they have, they tithe in. If the war effort gets too strong over there, and the price of a washing machine is $250, it'll go up to $500 overnight because they need the extra money. I know, because I had to buy a washing machine when I was over there, and I saw it on the 250 one day, and I went to buy it the next day, and they said, no, it went up. I said, but $250 more, $500 for a washing machine? That's right, it's for the war effort. And I said, oh, okay, so I bought it, because the Lord is for the Jews, they're His chosen people, and it's for sure. They are not the ones. Now, there is a document called the Protocols of Sion. This is a forged document by the Vatican. They killed a Jew and took him into a house of prostitution and stuck this phony document in his coat pocket. And it was the actual outline that the Jews were going to take over the world. But folks, remember that that is a phony document. The Jews don't have big monasteries, or they don't control the world government. People say they control the stock market because when there's a Jewish holiday, a lot of the Jews don't buy or sell on those days, so they kind of close down the stock market. But because they buy more stuff than anybody else, except government, and they're just a small amount of people that are on earth. There's a remnant of them left. But the Bible tells that the Antichrist sits and is like constantly seeking to control every country on the face of this earth. And they're using the United States armed forces to get the job done for them, because you know, the people have been duped into believing these false things. There's a books written that, you know, beware of the Zionists or the, but this is all propaganda from the Catholic cult. So don't believe it. There are thousands, maybe millions of books written that show how that it's the Vatican. And, I mean, you should read the Bible, because you must read it if you want to get into heaven, because it tells plainly that they're the richest organization. They don't even pay taxes in the United States, and some of the biggest companies in this country are all run by the Vatican, and they don't pay taxes. Gallo Wine doesn't pay taxes. Christian Brothers Winery out in Northern California doesn't pay taxes. And all the booze manufacturers like Seagram 7 and all the other ones in Ireland, they're all Irish Catholics. They don't pay taxes over here. And it just goes on and on and on. But they don't even care about that anymore. They've made everything one world. Like, for instance, we don't even have an American car anymore. The government, the one world government, compels them to use so many parts from one Catholic country and so many different parts to another country, and another part from another, and a little bit of parts from the U.S. These are one-world cars. I mean, they are made up from all different types of... And, see, I could go on and on and on, but the most important thing for me to do is to preach the gospel. And we see that these... we're going to be talking about the Amalekites in the 25th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we're going to be talking about Psalms 143. And other verses, the Bible states that the Lord inhabits the praises of his saints. When things are so overwhelming and we don't know what to do about the world situation, and their enemies are more than the number of the hairs on our head, and I'm not talking about you bald guys out there, I'm talking about normal people with a lot of hair on their head. Not that you're not normal if you're bald, but I'm talking about, the Lord talks about, he knows the very number of your hair. At one time in your life, you did have hair. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll just receive it that way. Now, so we're going to get into these scriptures, and we want the Lord wants you to not be unresponsive to them. He wants you to receive him, not impulsively, but for your own soul's sake. You're living in the most dangerous times of all. These are the end days. And without God, you don't have a chance. And so you need to cling to the Word of God, because the Word of God is God. The Word of God, it states in the book of Revelation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it states the same thing in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It still is. And then later on in the chapter, the first chapter of John, it says that the Word of God, God himself, came into the world as a man and dwelt among us. And that man's name was Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the only Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that all power in heaven and on earth belongs to him. And the Bible also tells that all the heavens and everything in the universe stays together, is glued together because of him, because of the Word. And therefore, people should really cling to the Word, because if the Word of God is strong enough to hold the entire universe together, it's certainly capable. And I can show you as you listen to these broadcasts, how that if you're nervous, you're shaking, you have Parkinson's disease, you're like losing your mind, you have demons coming and telling you that you should commit suicide, don't do it, because the Bible tells us if we do that, we're actually destroying the temple of God. Now, your body is supposed to be the temple of God, and it is. But if you don't let him live in you as his temple, then you will be destroyed and forever. And it's not just, you know, that you'll be put to death. It's like you'll live in hell in the lake of fire forever. You'll die there forever. And there'll be no rest and no freedom from pain. There's no kind of pill down there that'll take that pain away. There's no shots. You can't pass out. You can't faint. And there's no one there that will help you. But if you trust in the help of the Lord, that's what we're talking about today, is the trusting in the Lord in Psalm 143. And all throughout the Word of God, in the book of Psalms and throughout the Word of God, the psalmist David talks about that his help is from the Lord. And my help is from the Lord. I mean, there's no possible way that I could be calm, cool, and collective as I am after all the, the things that God has allowed me to go through to show the people in the world that there is people, human flesh, can survive persecution. For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that, all that live godly, that includes you. God is no respecter of persons. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll have perfect calm. You'll have perfect peace and a sound mind. Insanity is nothing more than people that have taken their mind off the Lord. And they're listening to all these demonic spirits that are bombarding their mind all day long and all night long. And all you need is the Word, Jesus. And if you just meditate on his Word, you'll have perfect peace and a sound mind, and you'll start calming down. You don't need a lot of pills, and it doesn't make any difference what kind of disease you have. If you'll follow the instructions of the Lord, of a little exercise and doing all things, eating in moderation and eating the things that the Lord says to eat. I'm not going to get into, you know, an hour-long situation here on what to eat, but if you'll just follow all the rules of the Lord, I mean, your body will heal up. I had diabetes, and also I had high blood pressure, but when I started eating right, after I got... See, I was in prison for the gospel's sake. The IRS got me. They hired a bunch of false witnesses, and that's where I went for 4 years, and I went half year into a halfway house. But I just lifted up my hands and praised the Lord because He inhabits the praises of His saints, and when He inhabits me, I have power. And I can go through all things in Christ Jesus that strengthens me. And I've been strengthened by the Lord. And He'll do the same thing for you if you just simply trust in the simple, easy-to-understand Word of God. But right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, we thank You for the leading of and guidance and direction. We thank You, Lord, for eternal life. We thank You for being there in rough and tough times. These are the roughest and toughest times, You stated, that has ever been on the face of this earth. All peace has been taken from off the earth, and You prophesied that these things would happen just before You come back to earth again. And You stated that You're going to shorten the days in the last days, and if You didn't, no flesh would be able to stand. Nobody would be able to survive. Because people, if they've been left to keep going on, they'd blow the whole world up because that's how crazy they are. And You said that the leaders of nations would be mad, in other words, insane, crazy. And we see that, and that there'd be perplexities of nations. Why, there's tsunamis, earthquakes in Pakistan, killing 70, 80,000 people at one shot, and thousands and thousands of people being killed with all kinds of disease, as You said. These are pestilences, diseases, sicknesses, infirmities, and that one-fourth of the world population would definitely be killed by animals. These are diseases that are created by the eating of different animals. I'm not preaching vegetarianism because I'm not one. I eat chicken and fish, but the Lord told me to stay away from beef and beef products such as dairy. And you can certainly eat them if you like, but I if I were you, I'd do what the Lord says. And so many people, my wife Susie used to love to drink milk, and I told her, you know, that all the bodybuilders, I used to be the executive vice president of the world's largest health chain, so all the bodybuilders that I know do not, all the top ones do not drink milk or eat any milk products. They stay away from them, and they, to lose weight, they fill themselves up full of water. When they get hungry, and they take egg whites, and they eat some fruit, not too much, because fruit can cause you to have diabetes as well. Especially if you have diabetes, don't eat much fruit. Now, Father, we ask that You lift, save. Lord, we ask that You open up the minds, the hearts, the souls of all the people out in Radio Land, and that You let them be responsive, not unresponsive to what's being said here today, that they respond, not unresponsive, because if they don't, they're like those that received the seed on the wayside. They just, the devil, the birds, the devil comes, the devil, the prince of the air comes and takes the words right out of their heart the minute that they hear them. But Lord, we pray that people will be like planted in good soil, that they'll receive Your word and become saved, and that the church will receive the right meaning of the word, which is quite easy to understand, that they'll be able to be saved and not fall away and become part of the Antichrist like so many former Christians have. Your word tells us that there'd be a great falling away. They were former Christians, and now people are preaching that you can't fall away, and no one is perfect, but Your word says that we are perfect if we are responsive to Your word, and if we do what Your word says, if we live in the Spirit, if we walk in the spirit of the Almighty God. So, Lord, bring your word deep into their ears, into their spirits, into their souls, into their bodies. Let them take hold onto it with all their might, because it is their very life. And, Lord, let the church do the same thing. Let them stop being lethargic. Let them stop being lukewarm. Let them stop minimizing or listening to any of these false doctrines. Let them be lifted up on higher ground, Father God. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, we have some letters here. Where's the first one from?
From Roanoke, Virginia.
Roanoke. Okay, then what?
You sent me a package before of the first books of Genesis, and they helped me so much with my understanding of the Bible. I was wondering if you had more tapes, perhaps.
Oh, we've got lots of tapes. Gosh, I don't know. I think I've done thousands of tapes, so we'll load you up. Okay, then what? Excuse me.
You don't know how much your church has helped me grow closer to Christ. Thank you so much. I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you again. Desiree from Roanoke, Virginia.
Now, it is as you say, it says you're a church. Now, so I've had one person wrote me one time, I don't think, in order to be a pastor, you have to have a church. And he says, do you have a church? And they said, I think not. Well, I've had a church here for over 40 years now. And we have services every evening at 8 o'clock and twice on Sundays. 3 o'clock every Sunday and 8 o'clock every Sunday. 7 days a week. And if you come to any one of our churches, you'll see that's the way it is. And that's what I would suggest for all our thousands of churches all over the world, that they are to have church service Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week, twice on Sunday, 3 and 8. And so we do have churches, all right. I definitely am a pastor. All right, what else? What's the next letter?
From Ondo State, Nigeria, Africa. Dear sir, I read one of your literature books entitled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy. This book has really changed my life and religion. Before, I was a Muslim, but the moment I read this book, my life was totally changed, and I confessed Christ as my Lord and Savior.
See, this is what the Word of God does. It'll change your life. It isn't me that's changing the life, but I'm just getting the Word of God out, and it's the Word of God that changes the life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Then what?
Now I fellowship with one of my friends in his church, where God has been helping me. The problem I have now is to get a Bible to read, because the Bible is very expensive in our area, and there is nobody to help me. I will be very happy if you can help me by sending one to me, and any literature by the same author, Pastor Tony Aloma.
Oh, the Lord is the author. He just uses me as the instrument to write them. But believe you me, he is the author. I will not take any credit. All right, what else?
As you do so, God will help you, and he will enlarge your ministry.
Oh, I know that. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. I will be expecting to read from you soon. Yours faithfully, Salu from Ondo State, Nigeria, Africa.
I'll make sure all these people get plenty of literature. And the ones that want tapes or CDs, just specify whether you want CDs or tapes. We have both, and they're no charge whatsoever. No charge whatsoever. All right, then what?
The next letter's from Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right.
Dear Spiritual Father, love and greetings to you in the name of the Most High God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am very glad to write you that I have received your literature and some Messiah books last year in 2005. I read the wonderful messages written by you. You are the only greatest international speaker. Me and our team were blessed through your messages. Sir, I'm a pastor here, and along with me, some pastors are working and living by faith only. Our pastors are working among pagan people. They are working in different villages. Really, they are working very hard for Christ, because the Hindu religion is the majority in our area.
Okay, working hard for Christ. Let me qualify that. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you, because my work is easy and light. So if it's really hard, Just let me get in with the Lord, and maybe you're going a little bit too fast and furious. Let the Lord's work, the Word of God, do the work. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, take that easy a little bit, you know. I mean, you know, if the Lord's moving on you to move and groove like that, well, then do it. But if, work yourself to a frazzle to where it's hard, because if you're yoked with the Lord, if the Lord's yoke is on you, His work is easy and light because you're just in prayer. And it really is, it's exciting. It isn't, to me, hard work. What is reading the Bible and praying and teaching, preaching or teaching, I mean, or with, you know, taking care of people, as many as we can, and praying for all the other people in the world that are not as blessed as we are, that God will bless them. And the Lord tells us to bless our enemies, you know, give them food and drink if they need it, and pray for them, that despitefully use you. And this is God's way. He used to tell the people in the Old Testament to kill them because they didn't have that much faith. But in the New Testament, the Lord wants us to trust Him so much that we'll trust Him to take vengeance on our enemies. So therefore, He says, pray for them. Pray for your enemies. And now this doesn't mean, I see some study Bibles that tell you, even if somebody comes to attack you, just let them. And let them, if you kill your wife and your children and all that, that isn't right. Don't think for one minute that that's right, because the Bible says that we have a right, and it says don't even take them to the police or anything like that. That isn't right either. And don't even, so you have to follow the laws of God. The law is for the lawless, and if they're lawless and they're killing people, the Bible tells you to turn them over to the government. Now, the government that we have today is not a godly government at all. It's the Antichrist. And they don't really put people to death, as the Bible tells you to. In the New Testament, they brought this woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And they says, well, Lord, she's caught in adultery. Doesn't the law say that she should be put to death? And He says, absolutely. He didn't abolish the law. He said she should be put to death. But and go ahead and do it. Put her to death. But make sure it's one of you that is without sin. Okay? And so they all walked away. And the Lord asked her, where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, I have none now. He says, well, neither do I condemn thee. But let me tell you something. You better go and sin no more. Because if you sin some more, you're going to be condemned, all right? Mm-hmm. So the Lord forgives you, but He doesn't forgive you to go out and commit sin again. Don't care what all the people tell you. You got to listen to what the Word of God says. The Word of God is God. And you ought to listen to God more than man. Man is full of false doctrine. Okay, then what?
We are all in full-time ministry, and we are conducting street meetings, day and night meetings, distributing your good literature door to door in villages here.
This is really good to do that. And I don't, you know, that's you're working hard, but I don't think it's like working, you know, like an ox out in the field. You know, I've done that kind of work too. That was really hard out in the hot sun. Out in Montana, people are short of animals, and sometimes we worked just like animals out in the field. And I know the difference, and that's working hard. But working with the Lord, His yoke is easy and light. Going out and just wallpapering the whole earth, I've gone from early morning till late at night many, many days, over and over again, just distributing literature. I couldn't wait to get it before the Lord even gave me the gift to write. I used to go down to the Free Tract Society and get bundles of tracts there. We'd pay for them, and then we'd go out. You don't have to pay for our literature. We'll give it to you freely. And the pieces of literature that we have do win souls. Mm-hmm. You can hear these letters. We get them by the hundreds, even the thousands. You'll hear of people, their entire lives changing to become Christians and save people. So write for the literature and become distributors, and you can get one of our T-shirts or sweatshirts with logos on it that you're part of this ministry. All right, then what?
Many people eat spiritual food through your literature, and many people have repented and accepted Jesus Christ and took water baptism. I humbly and powerfully request you, sir, to please pray for my ministry. Sir, I wish to extend the Alamo Christian Ministries in my area in this new year. I have some workers under my leadership, and also in our church there are some evangelists under my leadership. Here we are all working and living by faith only. Sir, we need your kind encouragement and spiritual guidance in our Lord's ministry. Really, we have a great desire to develop and extend our Lord's work through you. Here, all our family members and church congregation and pastors are praying for you and your good ministry. Here we are independently doing the Lord's work. Sir, we need more of your English literature, and also we need some T-shirts for our Lord's workers.
Well, as you say, you want to extend your ministry. And as I said at the beginning of the program, Jesus extended his ministry by teaching. Amen?
Amen.
And so the literature that I've written actually teaches people what the Bible says and breaks it down to where a layman can understand the Bible and become saved. And then they want to, because they know the literature is powerful because it's from the Lord, that they can distribute this literature and see. It's a joyful thing for the people. They tell me that when they pass distribute the literature, that they see people being saved from it. So they know that they're doing something for the Lord. It's the same thing. They're getting the same reward that I do and everyone else in this ministry does. Anyone. We're all one body, and so therefore we all get the same reward. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so be encouraged in the Lord. You know, we don't have to all have the same gift, you know, I don't consider it anything to me. I just thank God that someone's doing it. If it was you, I'd be busy passing out your literature, because when I first got saved, I went and distributed other people's literature. There was some good pieces of literature, but I've never seen so many people saved in my life or ever heard of it as they are from this literature that the Lord has given me. Mm-hmm. It's really good because it's God. Amen?
Amen?
God is good.
Amen.
All right, then what?
I humbly and powerfully request you, sir, to please send one box of your literature and also one box of T-shirts for our workers. If you send more T-shirts, we will be very thankful to you, sir. Here every day we are praying for you and your respected ministry and all the saints there. May our Lord bless you abundantly. Amen. I will be waiting for your kind reply soon. Thanking you, sir. Yours most faithfully, Pastor K. Davina from Eastern Godavari District, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. You know, I never even heard of some of these places that we get mail from. And just raise up your hands and praise the Lord, brother, and everyone in the ministry of the Lord. If things are overwhelming you, if you're being attacked severely, do as Moses did. Raise your hands up. And if you have to have somebody else hold your hand, one arm up and the other one, raise your hands and just keep praising the Lord, because the Lord praises, when you're praising the Lord, that he inhabits the praises of the saints. And when Moses raised his hands up, the Jews prevailed, but when his arms got tired, he lowered them, and then the Amalekites prevailed. And so keep your hands raised up to the Lord. Raise up those feeble hands. That's how I made it successfully through all the persecutions, and there's been many of them. I've been in court probably 100 times. You could read the different cases in the law books and see how many times I've been in there and prevailed. The only time is when they called in a whole bunch of false witnesses, people that we had to put out of the church because they didn't want to serve the Lord. And but we praise and thank that we pray for them as well, that they will, because the Lord says to pray for our enemies. Now that seems kind of strange, but it works, because the Lord wants us to trust him enough to take vengeance. He doesn't want us to take vengeance on anybody. That's why we don't have any weapons, and we don't hit anybody or strike them. We'll take them down if they come after us or something. We'll take them down. And as I used to in Montana when I was a kid, somebody was doing something to me, I'd take them down and wash their face in the snow. But I wouldn't hit them because I was so powerfully strong, I was afraid I'd kill them. And so I just take them down and say, "Can't you say that I'm stronger than you?" And I just wash their face really good in the snow. I said, "You ought to scrub your face, you know, hard like this, okay, because it's dirty." Okay, and we don't even do that. We just take them down and call the police. All right. Now then, let's start out with some Bible reading here. Those were really nice letters, and I pray that all of you and everyone in my churches everywhere in the world will pray for all these the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, which is the New Jerusalem, the future New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, because the Amalekites had attacked the children of Israel, and killed all the feeble folks. They're low Amalekites. They're very low. And actually God told Israel to kill all of them because they were so bad. Now we have more faith and we trust that God will take vengeance on them. And all we have to do to get that going is to pray for them. And if they ask for food or water, give it to them. And then if they don't repent from that, well, then God will take vengeance on them. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Amen?
Amen.
And that's His commandments today, and that's what we got to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so start out with verse 17. I think it is right. All right.
Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way.
Yeah, they wouldn't give the children of Israel water. They were weary. They'd been, you know, through one thing after the other. And the Lord is saying, remember, through Moses, through Joshua, or through Moses, he's telling them, remember what they did to you. Okay? Then what?
When ye were come forth out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee.
Yeah, this is a coward. You know, that's what a lot of people do when you're so weak and you're, like the Bible says, in the last days, Satan would wear out the saints. But the Lord will restore them if they just learn to lift their holy hands up to the Lord and say, "Lord, give me strength. I thank you and praise you, Lord. You said we'd be worn out, but you said you'd restore that strength back into us." And so, you know, immediately when Susie was so sick, she got so ill that I had to be by her side all the time. And she got so sick that I'd have to pick her up. She'd say, "Pick me up," in bed. And I'd pick her up, and then she'd lay me down. And then she'd say, "Okay, now pick me back up." And so I'd just be doing that all night long, and I got so weary. And I was feeding myself candy bars all the time. We had a little grocery store down in Elma, Arkansas, and I would just keep eating candy bars to try to keep my energy up. And the devil was hitting from every side, and it was just the Department of Labor wanted us to, because we won a bunch of hippies to the Lord, and we built homes for them, and we paid their utility bills and got automobiles for them, and we also paid their utility bills. We paid for the gas in their cars. We fed them, clothed them, housed them, paid for the babies to be born, built schools for them and churches and everything. And the Department of Labor said that we had to give them paychecks. I've never heard about that in the whole history of churches where the secular government said that we had to pay these hippies that got saved. And some of them were not very saved. They, of course, you know, we kept believing that some of them would receive messages sooner or later. Some of them didn't, and those were the ones that left, and some of them wound up being false witnesses against me on that IRS case where I did prison time, 4 years, for the gospel. And so anyway, what happened was, is right after she, this went on for 17 years. The last 3 years was the worst. And I just prayed, God, take us both. Take us both, because I hadn't, every day I learn from the Word of God. And you never get to know the entire Word if you just don't study and study and study. And so I said, I want to die, Lord. Don't let her go without me. I heal her and let me go. She's more valuable in the ministry than me. I really pray that you let me go, Lord, or take us both at the same time. Because there's been many, many visions of it. When Sue and I were in Las Vegas, we went there to get married, and we got married 3 times. I told people that it would take a Philadelphia attorney to get us a divorce, if we, as a joke. And we were holding our hands one day, looking up at the clouds, and the Lord, just jesting with us, had us looking down at the clouds. We went up way in the air, and we were holding hands, and Susie said, "Do you see what I see?" I said, "Yes," and she said, "What?" I said, "We were looking up at that big, all those big cumulus clouds, and now we're looking down at them." And she dug her nails into my hand and said, "Yes." And I thought, gosh, I hope heaven isn't this way, because it was very boring up there just staring down at those clouds. There was no activity up there whatsoever. And then I started getting scared. How are we standing up here in air? And I could feel the Lord smiling on us, His Spirit. And a lot of people may not receive this, but, it happened, and, what can I tell you? I'm just telling you what happened, and I'm not going to go to hell for lying, that's for sure. Then all of a sudden, I'd look down, and here we were looking back up at the clouds, because I was afraid, and it was very boring up there. But heaven is not that way. It's not standing in the clouds or anything like that. It's the most beautiful place you could ever possibly imagine. So, but anyway, we had so many visions like that that there was just no way that I could ever leave the Lord. We had so many supernatural experiences like that. I've had many visions when I was young, and when I'm old, I've had dreams and dream visions. And there's no way that anyone could tell me that God doesn't exist. And, of course, all the prophecies are coming forth. And I've told you many times that I've seen Jesus with my eyes wide open one night in Studio City, in our apartment, in the bedroom where it was so dark I could see anything. And here this stick of spirit came into the room, and then it formulated into a mirror, an oval-shaped mirror with a gold frame around it. And there was Jesus sitting in the mirror, and I thought he was going to take me, and I had a big smile on my face. I said, "Lord," and he says, "Not now." And that was the biggest disappointment to this day in my life. I've never had anything disappoint me more. So don't feel sorry for people that go on to be with the Lord, because if they're there and you know they're there, just don't feel sorry for them. I actually feel sorry for myself. I miss my brother very much, because he just passed away on the 28th of December, and but I know he's in heaven, and so it's me that is suffering, and his children, because he was I used to like to talk to him all the time. But anyway, we're not getting much gospel in here. I'm telling you things that really happened. They should be good. Let's just continue reading here. Deuteronomy.
How he met thee by the way.
And now, these Amalekites met them by the way and did what?
Smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee.
So that's what I'm talking about, is the Amalekites in the world attacked me when I was completely fatigued from taking care of Sue and keeping the entire church up by myself. And then he pulled me into court, the Amalekites, the government. And when you're the weakest, that's why. And when I was a baby in diapers, he came and attacked me and caused me to I didn't know what happened. It was just the most frightening thing. to steal and lie and hide the change from my dad's dollar under a mat at the bottom of the stairs. There was a store right across a little patch of lawn down at the bottom of the stairs, and I went in there and bought some stick matches that my dad wanted and something else I can't remember. But anyway, that's when these Amalekites hit you. And you know there's Amalekites in your family, in your church, all over the place, and they get you when you're the weakest, when you're physically the weakest. And that's when you really have to get a hold of the Lord and lift those hands up like Moses did and start praising and thanking the Lord so the Lord can inhabit your praises and give you the strength that you need to go through whatever obstacle it is that the Amalekites are causing to go through at the time. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, now go ahead.
When thou wast faint and weary. And
see, I was faint and weary, and these the Jews were faint and weary here, all right? And I'm Jewish too, so we have Jews today as well as back then. All right, then go ahead.
And he feared not God.
They don't fear God. These people in the government, they don't fear God. But we pray that they will fear God because we don't want to see anybody go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Keep going.
Verse 19. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it.
He says, when you come into the inheritance and you got some rest and your strength is back, then kill them all. But now the Lord tells us to pray for these Amalekites. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you get so unglued from all. I was attacked from people in the church, people outside the church. There were a lot of phony Christians in our church. You know, they were there. And they, a lot of them, you know, said that, well, Sue was the charismatic one and I wasn't. And I didn't want to be anything at all, except I thought because the fact that I'd done so well in the world making money that I was in the ministry to make money. And I actually have a plan to solve the the national debt if anybody wanted to take care of it. I know how to do that very quickly. But of course the secular people don't want to take any advice from people of the Lord, as Pharaoh did during the days of Joseph. He's the one that pulled him up and out of it. And people should respect godly wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But, of course, we're living in the day of the most vicious Amalekites that ever happened. They attack you when you're weak. And when they, when we're weak, we're actually strong because God is in us. Amen?
Amen?
And if God be in us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen?
And if God is in us, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now read... I was going to read the first of this chapter, but I see that the Lord had me going on other things, which tells about that people should be beaten. Read the chapter yourself, Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter. Just read the first three verses real fast.
If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Verse 2. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault by a certain number. Verse 3. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed.
Okay, now this government says that that is against the law to discipline unruly people. And yet they go and kill all the people in Waco, men, women, and children over there, and say that they were abusing the children. That's why they killed the children. Isn't that sick thinking? And they bomb countries and destroy millions of people, and yet they don't want you to discipline people the way the Lord says to you. Lord says no more than 40 stripes, amen?
Amen.
At the most. And that's God. But, of course, the Amalekites, they believe in killing people, murdering them, committing adulteries, homosexuality and all the other things, but this is Bible, I'm telling you. Now, the Bible tells you that you are to not be unresponsive to it. Well, you mean, but you can't discipline people according to what you say, and you better not do that today, or if you do, you better be careful of what you're doing. You have to be in the spirit. We usually, what I do is I just put them out of my church. It's that bad as it says for us to do in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Okay, now let's read Psalms 143.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
See, now when you're in trouble, here David was being hunted by just armies of people. And he was hunted by the king that was possessed with the devil of Israel. And he's crying out to God. He's in a cave crying out to God, you know. And he trusted in God. Then what?
Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Verse 2, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Verse 3.
No, people, the only one that could justify us is when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the power of God enters into us, then we're justified by virtue of the Lord living in us and by virtue of us doing, being led by the Spirit. Then we're perfect. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. We're not sinners anymore. We're sons of God. That's the word of God, okay? So don't deny that. Don't be unresponsive to it. Respond to it. If you get saved, you're a son of God. You're not a sinner anymore. Then what?
For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground.
Right, because the Amalekites have got him. Amen?
Amen.
The devil. The Amalekites are like devils. Then what?
He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead.
Now, in other words, here he is in a tomb, like a cave, and I'm in darkness here. I can't even leave this cave because that's where they buried people in those days, is in caves. All right? Then what?
Verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate.
See, when you're overwhelmed and you see the enemy attacking your people, then raise your hands up. And when you do like Moses, then your people will start prevailing. Amen?
Amen.
So you got to keep... Don't let anyone in the church ever tell you to not praise and thank the Lord. Man, you have to praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You have to raise your hands up and praise God because you're weak. Okay, but we're strong in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works.
Praise the Lord. He thinks of the Lord all the time. He meditates on him, and he's always praising the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? And that's why he had power to prevail over all these attacks from the enemies, from the lions and from bear and from Goliath. He was able to prevail over all these obstacles and all these armies of Saul that kept seeking to kill him. Then what? And the Philistines. Then what?
I muse on the work of thy hands. Verse 6.
Yeah, I know that you created everything, Lord. Then what?
I stretch forth my hands unto thee.
See, I stretch forth my hands unto you. If the Lord sees your holy hands reaching out to him, you know, raise your hands up if you're overcome with grief and with sorrow and with, it looks like there's no end to your troubles or you can't pay your bills or anything. Just, you know, and reach, let people of the Lord help you out too. Call them. Don't be ashamed to call us. All right, if you are... But we're going to get you praying, too, and we're going to help you, all right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty lamb.
Yes. Does your soul thirst for the Lord, or are you troubled? You're worried. Worry won't get you out of any trouble. You have to raise your hands up like Moses, like David, like myself. Amen?
Amen.
And get that power from God and get deliverance from the Lord. Then what else? And get direction. Get saved first. Because if you're not saved, no good thing is really going to happen to you. All right? Get saved. And receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let God the Father, let Christ with the Father by the Spirit live in you, and he'll come into you by the Spirit. Then what?
Verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth.
Yeah, sometimes we can't wait. We need to have the Lord answer us right now, speedily. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit.
Yes, they go down into the pit because they don't praise the Lord. They're not wanting to serve him. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be ashamed to praise the Lord. This whole church should be rocking with praises from the Lord because the Lord has blessed us. Amen?
Amen.
In many ways.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust.
See, I trust in the Lord. I'm responsive to His... I'm not unresponsive to Him. I trust Him. And this is not an impulsive thing. I lived this way for all these years, David said. That's why he was able to die in his bed. He didn't die with a javelin through him or by some drive-by shooting or something, because he was living for the Lord. Well, I see that our time is up. I really want to read the rest of this. You could read it yourself, you know. Go to Psalm 143. And I would suggest, you know, read some Psalms, you know. And, there's a big family of Christians. If you're a Christian, we'll help you. You know, we're not like the others where I know a lot of people sent for help from different organizations that were supposedly Christians, and they sent them envelopes to send them money. Here, poor people in prison. So I saw that, and, you know, I told our people to send them money, you know, send them some money. They needed money. They needed help. They needed prayer. Their families needed help outside the church. And if you're in prison and your family needs help, write us or call us, and we will send them boxes for their birthdays, a box full of stuff, clothing, food, and so on and so forth. And this is what we do. But let's be responsive to the word of the Lord. Start praising the Lord. Ask Him to come into your heart now. With the Father by the Spirit, so that you can have deliverance from all your problems. Amen?
Amen.
Now, problems will happen, but the Lord will still pull you through all of them. He will allow you to go through some to see if you trust Him through every problem. So start out now by saying this prayer to the Lord to be saved. Repeat after me and say it to the Lord, your God. He created you. Now say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I ask You into my heart, Lord, and I know that You've heard me, and I know that You've answered me. And according to Your word, I'm saved, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. Say, thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Lift your holy hands up now to the Lord and get deliverance from every problem, everything. And if you don't just trust in Him, He'll eventually pull you through. The storm, remember, does not last all the time. Storms come and storms go. And we're going to have stormy times, but the Lord will take you through every storm in this life if you'll just raise your hands up and praise You, Jesus. Amen. Praise You, living God. You'll give us the power. You inhabit the praise of Your saints like Moses and David and like all of us. We lift our hands up and praise You, Father God. Thank You, Jesus, for saving their souls. Now, until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.